This has been quite a week. Boy, I don't like to listen to the news anymore. Boy, Israel is almost on fire. There's a war in the Middle East erupting. Gas was shortages and looking for people to find gas. And of course, a lot of things happening. We wonder, as we see what's going around in the world, this question, what in the world is going on? Have you ever felt like things are out of control and things are chaotic? And say, what is happening? How do we deal with it? This week, as I was preparing for today, I was planning to preach on something else. And the Lord directed me to this that I brought today, changed it to me in the end of the week. He said, I want you to focus on this. Because with all that's going on in the world today, a lot of people are living with, how do I handle it? How do I deal with all that is happening in the world around us? The disciples had those kind of questions. And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus had said that I tell you, he told them, look at the temple. And he said, one of these days that temple is going to be destroyed. And they had a hard time believing that. How could the temple, the great magnificent temple that they could see from the Mount of Olives looking down into the eastern side of the city, the Temple Mount that's set up higher than all the city, how would that be destroyed? But Jesus said, there's coming a day. And as they were sitting on the Mount of Olives, they knew the scripture that on the Mount of Olives, when the Messiah came there, the end was about to occur. And they thought, well, is Jesus telling us the end is near? And so they said, what's the signs? What do we know to look for? And Jesus said, here's what you need to know. In a world that seems to be spinning around us and collapsing, how do we live? Well, let's listen to Jesus because Jesus has some good teaching for us this morning. When it seems like the world, what is going on? How are we to live as a result? The first thing Jesus teaches us is to be watchful, to watch out and to be aware and have an eye tuned to the scripture and watch the news with the scripture in mind. Now, if you watch the news with the scripture in mind, you get encouraged, not discouraged. Because we'll see later on what I mean by that. But keep watchful and be aware of the times. Notice Jesus said, his answer to them was, tell us, Lord, how do we deal with this? In a world that seems chaotic, Jesus said, watch out or keep an eye open. Be aware. That word watch out means be aware, be tuned in, be focused on this. And watch out that you're not deceived. Be aware of what's going on. The scripture tells us in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, 12, verse 32, that the men of Issachar understood the times, and they knew what Israel should do. They were men of that day, that they understood what was going on in their country, and they understood what God was doing in their time, and because of that, they knew how they were to live. Understand what God is doing around us when we see what's happening in the world, because God is at work. Do you believe that? He is at work and he is busy doing things, bringing things into plan, and understand what he's up to so that we know how to live and respond as a result of it. Keep that awareness. As we understand the times, one of the main things you want to watch for is to keep an eye on Israel. Because Israel is the key, right, Dave and Gloria? Israel is the key. And you want to keep your eye on what is happening there. Because the Bible makes it clear, was Israel, that's where the focus is at. And we see what's going on in Israel now. So keep an eye there and be aware that God is up to something. God is at work. And be aware of his plan and how to live. Also, as we watch out, guard against deception. Be watchful and keep that eye open for deception. He says, watch out that no one deceives you. Jesus says, for many will come in my name, claiming that I am the Christ. And Jesus said, they will deceive many. Many people will fall into the deception of those last days. God has given us the truth right here through his word. And we need to know his word well enough and recognize it that when we hear false teaching out there, we're not deceived and caught up. Jesus said, many will claim that they are the Christ, meaning that many will claim that they're speaking for Jesus. Many will claim that they're proclaiming truth from God's word, but yet they're nothing but masters of deception. And Jesus, and the scripture says that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light, trying to deceive who he can. One of the things that in this past year, as we went through COVID, one of the things I discovered was on the internet, there was an awful lot of false teaching going on out there. There was a lot of, unfortunately, Christians getting caught up in the false teaching that was being put out on the internet and people were buying into. One such thing is you wouldn't believe how much false teaching there was, and I've heard it from people, about vaccines. And some teachers had people convinced that the vaccine was a mark of Satan and the Antichrist, and to get it, you were getting implants and chips. People were believing that and being brought into it. And we got to know the truth so we're not caught up in the deception out there. Be aware. Be guard. Guard yourself. Guard against that deception. That's what the scripture says. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men and elementary principles of the world, rather than of Christ. Because there's a lot of it out there. And guarding our heart and knowing the truth well enough that we're not caught in. Guard against deception, watch out, but also watch out and look out for the enemy. Keep an eye out for the enemy who is against us. Jesus says, watch out that no one deceives you. The main deceiver is Satan himself, who was a deceiver from the very beginning, who transformed himself into a serpent and inhabited a serpent in the garden to deceive Eve and Adam from the very beginning. He's been deceiving us ever since. And be aware of our enemy is real, and he opposes us. The scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober-minded and be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. He is ruthless, he is relentless, but we are on the winning side. But just be aware that we have an enemy out there who is against us. Part of what we see going on in the world today is because the enemy is running rampant. But we're going to see there's good news to that. Be watchful, Jesus says. But second, as we see what's going on around us in the world today, Jesus says, be joyful. There's cause to rejoice. And you say, but Dan, how in the world can we rejoice when we see what's going on in the world? And you say, rejoice? Well, Paul says, rejoice, Lord, always. And again, I tell you, rejoice. And why? Why can we rejoice? Well, the Lord gives us a reason. He says in verses 6 through 8, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see to it that you're not alarmed when you see this happening. When you see all the chaos going on in the world, when it seems like everything's falling apart in front of us, don't be alarmed, Jesus says. Because he said, such things must happen. You say, what? Jesus said, it must happen this way. You say, why? Because we can rejoice because God's on the throne. He is in control. Our God reigns. And because he is on the throne, such things must happen because our God is the God of history and is guiding history to a point. He's taking it somewhere. He is taking our world somewhere. We believe that, right? And there's a lot of people that don't. And if you don't believe that, and people, we don't have a Christian worldview, we look at the world and we can throw up our hands in despair and say, oh, it's hopeless. But no, our God is taking us somewhere. He has a plan. And such things must happen to get us to where he wants to be when he returns someday. And so we can rejoice in it. because our God is on the throne. And Dean has said before, when things seem to be like they're falling apart, they're actually falling into place. And we can rejoice in that. He is in control, and it's all part of the plan. It must happen this way. Our God is on the throne. It's a reason to rejoice. We can also be joyful because the day of deliverance will come. Jesus said, when you see these things happen all around us, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines and earthquakes. And notice what Jesus says, famines and earthquakes in various places, not just in one, but in various places. Don't we see in the world all this stuff going on all around, all over the place? Jesus said it must happen that way. But he said, know that these are only the beginning, he said, the beginning of the birth pains. What birth pain is he talking about? He's talking about the birth pain leading to his return. Now, I don't have any children. Kim and I were never blessed with any children. And of course, I'm a guy. But the stories I hear about women who have gone through childbirth are awful. And they say that the contractions begin slowly and then become more intense, right? Closer to the birth, they get more intense and faster and more frequent till the birth, till the day of deliverance actually comes. And that's what Jesus is saying is going to happen in the world. These things we see around us, earthquakes, pestilence, famine, all this stuff going on, we see it happening, but as we get closer to the Lord's return, closer to our day of deliverance, they're going to intensify. They're going to get more erupt. They're going to be happening all around the world. They're going to be happening one right after another. And they're going to be like, what's going on? But Jesus said it's the birth pains. It's the contractions getting ready for the deliverance. And when the day of deliverance comes, the you women that have gone through pregnancy and deliverance, when you have your baby and you hold it in your hand, do you remember the birth pangs anymore? You say, it's been worth it. Our child's here. And we rejoice because the pain was worth it because, yeah, look at that. Derek got a nice hug from Jill when I said that. It was worth it. And that's how it is when we go through this. Yeah, it's a painful time, but when the Lord returns, our day of deliverance comes, we say, praise God. We're home. It's over. The deliverance is here. Jesus says, this is just the beginning. Instead of looking down when we see what's going on around us, we can look down and be downhearted, but it's looking down, we need to look up. Because the scripture says, Jesus said in chapter Luke 21, verses 25 to 28, and these will be the signs and the sun, moon, and stars. And on the earth, the stress of nations, perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is going on in the world. Aren't people fainting with fear now? And they have foreboding with what's going on in the world around us. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, but then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. And now when these things begin to take place, straighten up. Raise up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. That's why we can rejoice. That's why we can be thankful. Because the day of deliverance is coming. But it's closer now than when we first believed, right? Every day is a day closer. The birth pains are happening around us. We can see it. And we know that deliverance will happen someday. Be joyful. Be watchful. But third, Jesus tells us, in a world that's gone in chaos around us, be faithful. Be faithful. Look at verses 9 to 13. He says, and then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. And because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. What a description of our times. But be faithful because Jesus said opposition will increase. The closer we get to the return of Christ, the more we as people of faith and believers are going to find ourselves being opposed. We're going to be facing more and more opposition from the enemy because the enemy knows his time is getting closer. His destruction is coming. And he's fighting with all his fury. We will experience persecution. Jesus says you will be handed over to be persecuted. We've been blessed in this nation that we haven't experienced persecution physically for our faith. But we see more and more of our faith being ridiculed, more and more of our faith being coming under attack and under assault. And people have been persecuted in our country by taking a stand and not making a cake. The baker that wouldn't make a cake for a gay wedding and was assaulted and persecuted for that, lost his job. Others as well, we see persecution coming in different ways. And Jesus said, we can expect that. That's going to increase. But be faithful. Hold on till the day the Lord returns. This week, I was handed Israel My Glory magazine. Dean always gives this to me after she's done with it. It's a Friends of Israel publication. I like reading it. And they had a couple stories in here about the persecution that's happening to Christians around the world. I just want to share with you. And this one captured my heart because of being in Uganda. This story comes from Uganda. And a Muslim husband of a 38-year-old mother of three beat his wife unconscious and forced her to drink pesticide after he found two Bibles in her suitcase and when she told him that she had become a Christian. This is quoting her. She said, my husband began reading verses in the Quran that allowed men to beat their wives if they disobey them. Then after he started beating me with slaps and sticks, she said, he forced me to take a toxic pesticide. She said that the neighbors found her outside under banana plants covered in blood and vomit, and her husband likely dragged her there expecting her to die. She was discharged from a medical clinic on December 2nd and has been staying with a Christian family at an undisclosed location. However, she is worried about her children, ages 16, 13, and 9. Coming out of the country of India, six Hindu extremists had beat a pastor unconscious and threatened to sacrifice him to their God as a punishment for passing out gospel tracts. Pastor Shelton Vishwanathan was about to go on his way when one of them seized the keys from his scooter, took his phone, and signaled others to attack him. When he remained unconscious, he found himself locked in a dark room. I shouted for help, cried aloud, hoping someone would hear my cries and come to help me, but nobody could hear me, he said. I was lying down on the floor without food or water for the next days. 7 days later, he persuaded an elderly woman who heard his cries to open the door. Eight Hindi extremists attacked him in June of 2019, pushing him off a scooter and breaking his head and foot just because he was a pastor and sharing the gospel. We've been spared that here, but Jesus said we can expect persecution and hardship to come the closer we get to the return. It will increase, so be faithful. We will also be hated. He said, don't be surprised, Jesus said, when you will be hated. He said, you will be hated by all nations because of me. None say he might be. He said, we will be. Have you ever noticed today there's any group you can't talk about, you can't offend, but Christians, it's okay to say whatever you want to about us. Did you ever notice that? Any other group is protected, but Christians, whatever people want to say about us, that's fine. Jesus says, don't be surprised. We'll be hated because they hated Jesus. They're going to hate us. And we represent him. And Satan, who is behind all of it, hates us because we belong to Jesus. So Jesus says, be faithful. Opposition's going to increase. It's going to get harder. It's not going to get easier. But the darker it is, the more the light shines. And the more God is in control and he's with us. Opposition will increase. Be faithful. But also, Jesus said, defections will occur. Verses 10 to 11, he says, you will hear. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many. And because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will go cold. Jesus said, the closest we get to the Lord's return, many are going to fall away. Many are not going to put their faith and trust in the Lord. A lot are going to fall into deception. There was a time, a generation before me, those of you that are of the greatest generation, know the time whenever World War II was going on. And when the country was under attack on World War II, I was told that the churches were full and the churches were packed. That drew people to the Lord. That drew But now these days, it seems like people are falling more away from the faith. The faith is, we're too, I, the statistics now say that we are in more of a secular age than we ever have been. There's less people of faith actually in this country than there are people that have, that don't have faith. People are falling away. And Jesus said we can expect that because the closer we get to the Lord's return, it's going to happen. So he says, be faithful, endure, keep looking to Jesus. Paul encouraged Timothy, who was a pastor of a church in Ephesus, a young pastor who was experiencing hardship, and Paul was encouraging him. And he said, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. What people today are not lovers of the good. Treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Paul says, have nothing to do with such people. And then he went on in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 to 3, and says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage, with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to hear what their itching ears want to hear. And fortunately, that's happening in the churches today. There are many that are gathered where pastors are teaching what people want to hear instead of what the scripture has to say. And we got to stand firm on the word of God, preaching the word in season when it's popular and out of season when it's not, because God's word does not change, right? It's our standard. And that's what we go by. But Paul says the day will come when people will not want to hear the word anymore. They will not want to hear the truth. But don't be surprised. Be faithful. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Peter says, there will also be false prophets among the people, even as there were false prophets among you, who will secretly bring in decisive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, to bring themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their destructive ways, because whom the way of truth will be blasphemed by covetousness. They will exploit you with deceitful words. For a long time their judgment has been idle, but destruction does not slumber. So be faithful, because the Lord, those who endure to the end, will experience that salvation. And the fourth thing that Jesus tells us in this world today is to be purposeful. To have a purpose, to live in purpose and mission for God. Notice what he says in verse 14. Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to the nations, and then the end will come. You say, well, what's delaying Jesus' coming? Why isn't he coming now? We don't know. He's going to come back someday. We don't know when it is. But what his delay is at this point is so that the gospel of the kingdom, so that more people can come to hear about him. He's delaying his coming so that your unsaved loved one or your family member has a chance to come into the salvation. That when all those who need to hear have heard, then the Father will say, son, it's time. Go get your bride. But be purposeful. Live with that mission of showing his love to those around us. That when people hear about Jesus through his love seen in us, as we show his love through our actions, as we show his love through our attitude, as we show his love through our acts of service, through those kinds of those kindness that we extend to others, we show the love of Christ, even to a total stranger, as we see is a sea of love of Christ shown through us. Live on mission for God. Each day he gives us. The scripture says, Jesus went on to say in Matthew, he said, blessed are those who are doing when the Son of Man comes and he finds his servant faithful doing what he was called to do. And make him known. Let others know about Jesus and his love. That message, that simple truth that God loves you. You heard Kim share last week when we were down in Dollywood about the first day when we were there and we were at the table. And the lady that come up and saw the sign, God loves you. And she said, God doesn't love me. She responded, God doesn't love me. People need to know that God loves them. God loves us for who we are. And he did something about it by giving his son that we could be forgiven and have that relationship with him. That simple message. That's all we need to share. God loves you and he wants you to be with him. And this is what he's done about it. And sharing that message of love and being missional and being purposeful on the days that we have here until the Lord calls us home. So what is going on around us? God is in control. God is bringing into everything into his plan. He's fulfilling his purpose and will. So be watchful, be joyful, be faithful, and be purposeful. That's how God wants us to live in these days. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are in control. In a world around us that seems chaotic, and sometimes we don't even want to hear the news, but we can look up and we can keep our eye on you. As the scripture says, look up because our redemption draws nigh. The day of deliverance will someday come. And when we see all this going on around us, we can rejoice because you are on the throne. Our God reigns. You reign. You are guiding all things to bring about your good and perfect will. And we trust you. So Lord, give us an eye clearly focused on you, that we can understand our times, that we see and look at the news through a biblical perspective, that we understand what you're doing in the world, and we can recognize that. So just as the men of Issachar, we can know what to do. We can know how you want us to live. And Father, help us to guard our heart and our mind against the deception of the enemy out there, to know your truth and to know your word, so that we're not caught up into all the deception that we hear, but we can recognize your truth. And Lord, help us to look to you and to be faithful and to hold strong to you, because many will fall away. Many will be caught up in the deception, and persecution may increase, but Lord, we know that you are with us, and help us to live on purpose and in mission, using each day to show your love to those around us, that your love would be seen by what we do, by how we treat others, by what we say, and the acts of kindness that we show, and by making you known and just sharing their wonderful story of your love for us. So thank you, Lord, that in a world of chaos, you are the solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. And on you we are secure, and on you we are firm, and on you we trust. It's in Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.